Blog Talk Radio.
Bees Barbecue here on a Monday night at Barbecue Superstars. I got Big and Bo Kayson coming online before too long. He's already on the line. I just want to give a notice to all those that were involved in the shooting this past week. I want to do a moment of silence and prayer for the families and the people that were affected by this, and give it a moment, pray for them. Okay, well, we've got a packed show tonight. We've got Mo Kayson from Ponderosa Barbecue. I've met him a couple times. Saw it last time, I think I saw him, was up in Nashville. One of the top teams in the country. We also have Kelly Wirtz, that's Four Legs Up Barbecue. He's going to be on a little bit later. And then the cap tonight show off, we're going to have Mike Davis and David Davis from Lotta Bull call in, and they got some big news for 2013. We'll see if we can pry it out of them. Anyways, we got a full packed show. This will be Killer Bee's last show of the year, due to, of course, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. Just so happens that's when my show landed. But we're going to start off big and bad January 2013. We're going to keep on with some big time lineups. So, anyway, stay tuned. I do want to promote my sponsors, Royal Oak Charcoal, American Tradition. If that got you some, you need to try it out, man. A lot of top teams are using it, doing very well with it. I'd also like to thank Southern Q Smokers, doing my TNT models for them. Great smokers at a quality price, gravity-fed smokers. They do water smokers, like similar to Jack's Old South, but, you know, it's their own design. You need to give them a call, give Scott or Tim a call. Also, I'd like to thank Butcher Barbecue for coming on board, David Buzka. Great products. I've been using them all along, and they've worked out very well for me, and they can for you too. I'd also like to thank Jeff Campbell from WikiQ for supplying me some of his sauce and rubs. It's great to have him on board, and he's a fierce competitor, so if you get a chance, go see him. And I'd also like to thank Greg McCauley from Fireside Outdoor Kitchen and Grills, in which tomorrow night down at Fireside Outdoor Kitchen and Grills. We will be having a rib throwdown, competition throwdown between four teams that he sponsors. So if you get a chance, if you're in the guest area, go down there tomorrow night and check it out. It's going to be fun. So, but anyway, we've got our first guest, Big Mo Kayson. I believe he's out of Iowa. How you doing tonight, Big Mo?
Oh, fine. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. I've been seeing you out there on Facebook, posting your new toys and stuff, but I want to get into the barbecue, man. So how was your year this year, would you say?
It was good. For me, every year is progression. You know, I just try to do better than I than the previous year. I was really wanting to do really good in pork. I was ninth last year, and I was had my eyes set on to be team of the year in pork. But late summer, man, you know, I was like in the top 10, top five, you know, for a little bit, for maybe a few weeks, you know, I was in top 10 for most of the summer, you know. And then, man, I just couldn't get a call, man. And, I was doing some few things, how you are. You try to tweak here and there, and before you know it, you're off your game, and you're doing things that didn't get you there. So I still finished up pretty good. I was happy with everything, and, you know, I feel like I'm a better cook now than I was in the beginning of the year. So, and that's how I try to, you know, so it was a success for me for improving, and I just had a great time. I just love getting out cooking, man. I love meeting new people. I love getting out and doing first-year contests and contests I've never done before. I plan on doing that next year, and I just had a great time. I just love barbecue. I just love the community, the family. I just can't get enough of it, man. I still have the fire, and we'll always have the fire, and Lord willing, and I just had a great time, man.
Well, that's what we try to say it's all about, you know, the friends and family. It's something the whole family can enjoy too, and like you said. Me and my wife do it. About 80% of the reason why is we go out there and we met some really good friends out on trail, and we do a few every year just so we can see them. And it ain't all about the money. That's nice, but, you know, it's just meeting new teams. And, I mean, you know, we met last year at Cummins, and then this year I saw you getting up in Nashville and cooking in the Sam's Club. And I noticed you were making a little bit more southern tour down towards the southeast and stuff, and I think Three Eyes did, and Munching Hogs at Hilton did. So, you know, it's good when other teams from other areas of the country, you start interspersing, you start spreading out. And that way you can kind of see where you're at with other teams, you know, from other areas of expertise, should I say.
You're right. You're absolutely right, man. Going down to Nashville and doing that, you know, you get out of your comfort zone. I've never been one to stay in a comfort zone. I'm not a guy that likes to just keep doing the same contest in the same area all the time. I just like getting out and putting my skills and trying to see how I, you know, fare with other great cooks throughout this country, man. And I think you learn a lot. I mean, you just learn, different flavors and styles, and it just makes you a better barbecuer down the road.
And I know last year you were cooking on green eggs. Did you start off that way this year, or you cook
all year? I'm a big fan of green eggs. They are really good folks, man. I love them. Actually, it's like a family, man. And, you know, I've got, there's Old Hickory, Big Green Egg, and then I got this new cookers called Rebels, and I'm cooking on Big Green Egg and the Rebel, and I still got my Old Hickory, but I'll use that for, like, on another trailer for when I do a couple of vending festivals that I do and whole hog cooks and like that, you know. But I needed some more room on my back porch on my trailer, so I downsized to a small Rebel, and I really feel like next year is going to be a real good year because I got it towards the end of the season, and I really like it. I really like how the product coming off of it. I love my eggs. I just love them, and I love the people. And they have always stood behind me, and I'm just real thankful for, you know, for them to help me out the way they have, and I'm a kind of guy, I don't forget that kind of stuff.
Well, that's good. You got so many people out there that take advantage of sponsors and stuff, and you know, it really hurts the rest of the barbecue community for the people who are really trying to do it right and treat them right. And
yep.
You know, I was an egghead last year, and I switched over to Southern Q Smoker at TNT. It's gravity fed. It's a, you can pretty much call it a Stumps clone. You know, it's the box style gravity fed, and
yep.
I started doing a little bit better. I started getting a little bit more sleep at night, and it was just, I still got my green eggs. I'm still cooking on them here, but I, you know, there's a sleep factor and stuff and all that, and, you know, I can put my meat on at 10 o'clock or whatever, and I don't have to wake up at 4:30 and worry about anything. So,
no, I do the same thing with them green eggs. I do the same thing, man. My Rebels are gravity fed, and, hell, I put a couple butts on that green egg, man, put the Guru on it, and she just sings on me. I set it at 240, 250, and I don't even look at it until the morning. I mean, yeah, man. I mean, yeah, I load it with charcoal, man, and she just sings along, and, man, just dead on, man. And same thing with my Rebel, man. It's a gravity fed, too. It's like a Stumps knockoff. But it's another thing, too. It just sings right along, and I get a lot of rest, you know. I get a lot more rest than I used to get, but I'm too much of a fidgety person, so I can't go into deep sleep. I have to get up and just kind of look around, and you know, I got to do stuff. And being a one man team too, I always got something I got to do. So I got a routine, and I try to stay close to it as much as I can, so therefore I don't put myself out there in a bad way towards morning. So. But yeah, man. I said there's three cookers that I'm, you know, thankful for. Old Hickory's been really good to me, and Big Green Egg, and then you know, I got this Rebel, and I got a lot more room on my back porch, and I'm able to do a little bit more. So it's working out good, man.
Well, you know, you hear that a lot about people streamlining, and in the Green Egg defense, I will say I did not have a Guru last year. So, you know, I did have a couple little issues with them, and it wasn't really until I got my Southern Q Smoker that you almost have to have a Guru for that. And I did buy an adapter, and I do, like I said, I do with some cooks here at the house. So we're on the sandwich shop, and I'll cook barbecue for it. And if she only needs a couple Guru through the week, I'll just fire up that green egg, and I'll go in and trim the butts up, rub them down, everything. By the time we come back out, it's temperature, man. It's ready to rock and roll.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, man.
You know, I do like them for that aspect, and cooking steaks and pizzas and all sorts of stuff. They're great. I mean, like I said, I still got mine. So, you know, I'm not going to let them go. They're too high of a commodity right now. But, you know, you traveled around a little bit, and, you know, we're always talking like flavor profiles from different parts of the country. And being in the Midwest, you know, from, I guess, this is probably my opinion, several of my buddies, is, you know, if you start off in the East Coast, you work your way to the West, there's a huge flavor profile difference. But with y'all in the center, I think y'all are able to tweak on the way to the East and tweak on the way to the West. Is that true, or do you just kind of cook? Because I know when I saw you at the Nashville, you know, we tried your brisket, and you did something to your brisket that we don't normally do around here.
I noticed that. I go lie to you. I was a little red ass after that one, man. You know what? I stopped doing that. I mean, I still do it, but I noticed that I tried, like, I think it was five or six other people's briskets down there that are from around that area, and I noticed they all had that same similar flavor to them, which told me that either I'm going to be different or it's going to hurt me. And it hurt me, man, because, you know, I cook over fire. I normally cook my briskets over fire in the beginning, and then I'll transfer them over to the Rebel. And because I like that steaky kind of grill flavor. But judges that are not used to that, they can identify quickly that that's not something that they're familiar with. Because I noticed that big time. I mean, I noticed that you know, with the cookers that had that were down there, and we swapped brisket, it was different. It was really different, and I'm just thinking, wow, you know. But back at home, you know, we cook. I'm not saying all the teams do that. I mean, obviously, you know, but I like cooking my brisket over fire first. I just like that flavor, man. It's kind of a slash Texas slash KC style mix. I just like the flavor. But I noticed that it doesn't play too well down south. It just doesn't. I mean, down south as far as, you know, down Alabama. And I mean, it worked for me to get past the local in Huntsville, I think it was. Yeah, Huntsville. Right. I was 11th and with brisket, you know. But I just noticed that, you know, after trying that, which is really, you know, their brisket was really good. It was just different. It was just something that way different than what I did, and either it was going to be a plus or a negative, and it worked out being a negative for me. And that's all right, you know. That's just how I roll, man. But I'm going to a cook-off here, and Mike will be down there too. I'm going to a cook-off here in Texas here this weekend, and I'll just go back to what I normally do anyway, and then hopefully, you know, it's going to be. It'll play well down there, hopefully. But yeah, man, I just that's the thing about going to different parts of the country, you know. But you know, I stopped doing that actually, you know, and my scores went up because it's just something that it's not normal for a right. lot of judges that are having that steaky grill flavor brisket. They want something that's just, you know, rubbed up, injected, whatever you're gonna do, and put it on the smoker, and it doesn't have that. That steaky flavor, that grill flavor. I like my brisket to have a little bit of grill flavor, but, you know, I notice it doesn't work everywhere. And then once I stopped doing it, it actually helped me, you know, as far as falling in line, you know, to a sense, you know, and you just pick your battles. When I'm in Missouri, you know, I can do that all day long, and you know, and because a lot of teams do that. They'll cook on trash can cookers, and that's just the way it is. But, you know, when you start getting outside of there, and you know, and it's a little different.
That goes along to like what we were saying, you know, with a little change and difference in the flavor profiles and stuff. And like I said, I know a lot of people in the Midwest sauce their brisket and stuff. And I did that for a little while. And then when I quit doing that, my score started going up. And, you know, I still know some teams that do very well and they sauce it, what to use for a sauce and how light or how heavy, I don't know. But, you know, what I feel like works around in this area is, you know, if it's just straight beefy flavor, you know, nothing yep. to try to hop it or anything. And I think we agreed on that up there in Nashville when we were, you know, above the trailer and stuff. You got to trying it, and you're like, you know, that's about the fourth one I've tasted like that. So I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm not
and
you
that guy there, man, he told me right there, I said, oh, shoot. I said to myself, man, I'm in trouble. I said,
really?
Because these guys are all here. And there's a reason why all the briskets are somewhat similar, and mine was completely off to the left, man. I'm thinking, damn, man. And I'm judging from around that area, so I'm thinking, this is not going to quite work too good for me, man.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was kind of funny when you were saying that, because you were looking at it and said, well, either I'm going to make it or break it. He said, there ain't going to be no in-between.
Damn right. Yeah.
So, well, like I said, you never know. Something like that, you know, the judges may be like, wow, that was really good. But I'm thinking now the judges are getting more in a routine, and the further outside that flavor, you know, trying something totally new or something being introduced that's that new, it's kind of tough to win the judges over. And
you know, but it kind of teased me off because a lot of these judges, I'm going to take a lot of these judges, I'm going to take that back. Some of these judges, and all it takes is a sum to kill your day, I mean, as far as your scoring and being able to do well. I had one of the last few contests I've done in the season, I had a comment card. Now, I'm a big fan, I'll tell you about it. I like cooking chicken quarters. Love them. I can put six chicken quarters in a box, and they look absolutely amazing. Bite-through scan, just absolutely money. But it's not the norm. Now, it's more norm down south. I can get away with it, but, you know, from around the Midwest, and it's just, you know, I got my 180 in Kansas, you know, with doing that with chicken quarters. But then you get to some contests that I had a comment card, and the comment card said, great chicken, a little hard to eat because it's awkward in shape. It gave me a 7. You know, and it just, you know, you look at that and you're just like, what? And, you know, what do you do, man? I mean, it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to judge on its individual merits, but because it's not the typical thigh that 99% of people turn in, then it's considered odd. It's all awkward to eat. Well, it shouldn't be awkward to eat. You know, just take a bite. You know, but, you know, but what it is these judges are so used of, you know, they're so used to the norm. They think that everything's got to be chicken thighs, you know. I'm not saying all judges are that way. I'm taking that back, you know. But, you know, that just kind of just burns my little burns my butt, man. You know, when I had you get a comment card like that, because you bust your butt, you're pretty, you're real happy with the chicken. It looks great. It's unique because you know that not too many teams turning in quarters, and then you get a judge that gives you a comment card like that, you know, and then just ruins your day because you get one judge, if two judges, you know, that are not feeling it, you're done. You're done. Yeah. You're done in that particular category. You know what I mean? So. But, you know, that's just what it is, dude. That's just the nature of the beast of competition barbecue. And, you know, you can't be too far out the norm, but you got to have a little bit of uniqueness about it, too. I don't know. It's one of those fine lines. It's all about what table you go to, too. I really truly believe that. You know, it's all about what table you go to. It really is. You get a judge that really appreciates that. They appreciate you went outside the box and you turned in a really good product. You know, I could understand the chicken wasn't there or whatever, you know, if, you know, the texture wasn't there or flavor wasn't there. So that's still, you know, up to the judge, you know. But, you know, just because it was a chicken quarter and not a, just a straight thigh, you know, they need to go back to judging school.
Well, that's what I was going to suggest. One or two things, it was either a female or it was a new judge. And, you know, like you said, that's the type of judge needs to go back to judging school. You're not judging on how awkward it is to eat. You're judging on the three categories and or the criteria. So, you know, I mean, I feel your pain. We got a comment card from Shelby. My wife helped me do the ribs and stuff. We do them the same way every time. And they gave me like a 9.9879 or something like that. And he said my ribs were gooey. Now, I don't know what the hell they mean by that, but you know, we did pretty well in ribs, but they said my ribs were gooey.
So I'm gooey? Like,
gooey. I'm like, were they overdone and mushy, or, you know, what do you mean gooey? we put
but
a lot of
what,
cheese on. So, you know, they need to
explain
that a little further. Do what?
This new judging system they got, that's going to clear a lot. That's going to clear up a lot of this
Oh, yeah.
I really believe that. I'm looking forward to this new judging system because it's going to hold these judges accountable. It really is. It really are because you'll get, you know, I mean, it's going to be a wealth of information for the cook. You know, not, you know, I don't know all the format, but, you know, all I know from what I was told by some reps that it's going to give you a lot of great detail on how your box did at that table versus the other entries on that table, and that's going to be that's going to give you some great information. And it's going to, if a judge is scoring low consistently, just because he or she does not like barbecue for some reason, they just came with their husband or their wife. You know, those people are going to end up being pushed out. And you know, get someone in there that's going to judge that food correctly. You know what I mean? Versus you know, so I just think that the new judging system, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be full-blown in 2013, I'm assuming, from what I was told, but I don't know for a fact.
Have you ever done a Florida Barbecue Association?
No, man, I want to get down there, man. I keep saying I want to get to Plant City and I want to get down, but, man, you know, I go all over. I don't care. I get my truck and, you know, and me and my trailer, we roll out, but I just haven't got. There's a few states that I haven't hit. I haven't hit a Colorado contest yet. I haven't hit a Florida contest. And I mean, there's a number of states. I mean, I want to get out to South Carolina, North Carolina. I want to do some more Georgia contests. But you know, me being in Iowa and having a full-time 40-hour job, I get weekends off, but, you know, normally I do a long haul like that, you know, I got to burn the vacation. I got to burn one or two, you know, burn a Friday and maybe burn a Monday. But
right.
It's about as far as I can get in, because I mean, I can drive 10, 12, 13 hours nonstop. It's not a problem. But, you know, it's on that backside coming home, you know what I mean, from Saturday, and then, you know, I got to work that night, Sunday night, because I worked the midnight shift. So I got to be at work at 11. So, you know, I want to build. I just love cooking down south. I love the people down there. I just love them, man. And I like to be able to do a lot more. But, you know, once I win the lottery, I can just kick back and just do competition barbecuing every weekend. You know, I got a full-time job, and I can't do that. So I got to pick my battles, man, you know. So I'm going to try to get a few more in down south next year. But it's just tough, you know, driving that distance. And Florida's, I mean, that's a haul, because you got to get down into Florida. It's a lot of them contests, man, and that's a haul, man. It's like going to California, man, and that's a haul. So,
Florida Barbecue Association comes up into Georgia, and they've got one in Thomaston, Georgia, middle of April. And the reason why I was asking, because, you know, these are some of the rules. There's no garnish in the box, so you fill the box up with nothing but meat. It's an hour in between turn-ins. Now, turn-ins are a little earlier. They're like 11, 12, 1, and 2. Same four meats. But what I like about them is when you get your scoring sheets back, you've got a judge number and a table number. And you can go through that scoring sheet, and you can tell if that table scored low the whole day or scored high the whole day or what that judge scored. You know, it's amazing at what you can find out from what they have. Now, they score in a tenth increment, you know, 9.1, 9.2, all that. So there's very, very few ties in that when you do that. But it's just a really good system, and that way you can see. I've done one FBA in Dublin last year, and I took grand champion in it.
Wow.
And I had four calls. I was the only team with four calls. And my two worst calls were 2 8th place. I had an 8th in pork and an 8th in brisket. And
wow.
Going back and look at the table, those two tables, those were the lower scoring tables the whole day, those two. But my scores, the score on that table and the high scores they gave all day were my two scores. And
wow.
Then you get one table where they only had like two briskets, but it finished like first and third. They had two briskets on one table, and they had six on the others. I'm like, why didn't they take one off each table and do fives or something, you know? So,
yeah.
Naturally, the table scored high all day anyway, and they got two good. I mean, they were good brisket teams, don't get me wrong, but you know, they scored them high. But I'm hoping that's kind of like KCBS is doing, so you can kind of see how your tables are doing, how you placed on each table. I was first on all four of my tables.
Wow.
I had a fifth in chicken. I had fifth in chicken, the third in ribs, eighth in pork, and eighth in brisket. But
wow,
that's
strong, man.
So, and you know, and I did my regular KCBS flavor profile. Of course, we were dodging tornadoes that day, but you know, it was. I mean, yeah, we had pit bulls, we had Holy Smokes, we had Jack's New South, Chatham Artillery, Uncle Chess, and we had some really good teams down there. And so it wasn't no gimme, and. But, you know, it just goes back to consistency and stuff. And like you said, when that judge gave you that because it was awkward to eat, that just writes my butt right there, because you're not supposed to be judging on that.
Yep.
And like you said, and so I'm a big advocate where I think after five contests and before 10, I think a judge has to cook with a team before they can move on.
That would be really good if a lot of these judges – because, you know, after the fact, you get a lot of these judges that stroll up around, up and down the concourse, and, you know, a handful of them think they're, you know, experts, and they don't even cook at home, you know, hardly, you know.
Exactly.
You know, they're coming and telling you, you know, what they think. And, you know, it's okay if you got your opinion, you know, but, a lot of these teams out here, you know, we put a lot of money and heart and soul in our cooking, and all we want is to be judged fairly. You know, call it what it is. If that's, you know, everybody has their own flavor profile and taste and things of that nature. But when you're giving a judge, when you're giving a team a score because you just think a chicken quarter is awkward to eat, you know, you're taking that person's out the game and the potential of having him or her lose money and points or whatever, you know, because you don't think cooking a chicken or eating a chicken quarter is awkward to you, you know, and things like that, and, you know, but. As I said again, that's just the nature of the beast. You got a ton of contests out there. You got a ton of people that are judging that are not really educated, I mean, in the craft. And they need it. I mean, you get a lot of these judges that cook with teams. They know, you know. They know what it takes. They know with the time and the expense that a team puts out to do a contest. And but, you know, as I said again, it all gets down to also it's what they like. And you just got to roll with some of the lumps. I mean, you know, and if it's your day, it's your day. I truly believe that, and that's what's going to happen. So, but, yeah, man, I mean, like, I'm looking to say I'm going down to Texas this week for the first annual shootout, and I'm really looking forward to it because it's my first IBCA-style contest, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm really, really amped up about it, man, because I've never cooked that type of contest before, and I just am looking forward to meeting all these Texas teams, and, you know, a few of them I know from Facebook, you know, and now I'll be able to put the names with the face and be able to meet them in person, and I'm looking forward to it.
That's what it's all about. You know, you can see people on Facebook, you kind of know what they like, and you know, then you kind of just actually go down and see them and stuff, meet them face to face, and you know, you meet new friends and everything. Now, is IBCA is that where they are on site judging, or is it?
I don't know. For what it's unfortunately, I go on YouTube and I can't really pull too much information. I put in all type of wording, and there's not much that comes up. You know, as far as. Judging aspect, I assume it's an hour between turn-ins. You got half chickens, and you got spare ribs, and you got brisket. You don't have any pork, pork shoulders, pork butts. So, you know, granted, there's I mean, you got to put 7 slices of brisket in, and then the contest determines if you put 2 half chickens or 1. And then I think it's 7 bones of ribs. So I don't know. 7, you know. So I'll find out for sure all the rules when I get down there. But there's no garnish. It's just a piece of foil, I think. And then it just goes off of what your flavor, man. You know, it has nothing to do with garnish in the box, man. You just got to cook a good food and see if you can finish up at the top and the end.
That's interesting. Like I said, I do 4 different sanctioning bodies, but they're all, you know, I do FBA, which is pretty close to KTBS, just no garnish, an hour in between. But I do some South Carolina barbecue, and they're mainly just pork, no garnish. They have some ribs there, too. And then Southern Barbecue Network, which they normally do pork and ribs, but they're going to either introduce chicken or brisket this year and try to have some 3 meat category. It's a new sanctioning body, but it's got KTBS's blessing, and they're trying to do it right. I mean, they're having some growing pains. They grew a lot last year, and they're going to grow a lot this year because they're not as expensive to sanction, so a lot of these smaller towns are getting on the bandwagon. And you know, they just want a barbecue competition to bring the community out and all that. And did 8 of those this year and granted 3 of them and reserve grand 3 of them, took team of the year in that, and we had a pretty good year in there. So. But it's you know, it's mainly around South Carolina, edging into Georgia, edging into North Carolina. So hopefully they can edge a little further. They're going to kind of stay in the southeast, but they're just trying to work out some logistics and some growing pains and stuff and trying to get that sanctioning body going. And but like I said, it's always good to do different things about it. Like I said, you meet a whole new group of friends, and a lot of people are, you know, will cook KCBS and these other events too. So, you know, it's not like they're in their own little world, so to speak. And
I think you grow. I think you grow as a. For me personally, I like growing. I like progressing, man. I don't like regret. I like progressing. So I like challenging myself. That's why I like doing. Like I'm going to be doing a few, you know, touch of style contests this year. I'll probably do one. I'll definitely one. And the next year, I'll probably do another one somewhere. And I like to down the road do an MIM, but you know, it's just you know, I'm a one man team, and that's one contest that it's unless you just do one category, I guess, which you would do. You know, I'd love to do. I think I make a really mean hog, but man, you need like an armada of people, man. And then you know you do, man. And I mean, I helped Brad Orson with the shed down there in Memphis, May, and great time, man. But, man, I mean, you see guys cooking racks of ribs and shoulders and stuff, man, and, man, you go broke.
I mean,
seriously, man. I mean, you know, Casey Bell said I cook 3 racks of ribs, 8-10 pieces of chicken, 1 brisket, and 2 butts.
Yeah.
But in MIM, man, you got to cook 9 shoulders minimum, man, I think. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, in order to do it right, you know, man, that just gets expensive, man. And then you got the entry fee on top of that, man. And that's why a lot of them, I think down in MIM, that's why they got a lot of teams. You know, a lot of teams that pitch in and sponsorships, and you know they'll have like 20 team members or 30 team members, and you know that offsets the cost. But when you're by yourself rolling like I am, man, there's no way in hell that I can afford something like that, man. I mean, I just can't.
Now, I mean, a couple bad contests, you're screwed for the rest of the year, and. You know, one thing I like about KCBS is it won't break you to go do one, and or a couple of them actually. And yeah, you know, usually if you win one, I mean, there's your entry fee for the next 5 or 6 of them easy. So, you know, you get over that hurdle right away, then you can worry about getting your meat later on. You know, but have you ever met Kelly Wirtz from Four Legs Up?
Oh yeah, me and Kelly, we good friends, man. Kelly's good people, man. I mean, Kelly is a stand-up great guy. Mike Davis, I've seen the lineup, great guy. Mike and Debbie. Kelly, I've known Kelly for, since 2006. And he's just a great guy, man. Just a genuine nice guy. And I got nothing but props for thumbs up for Kelly Wirtz and Mike and a lot of the barbecue community people out there. I mean, there's only just a handful of people out there that are complete a-holes. The rest of them, I'm serious, man. I mean, the majority of them are just really nice people that bend over backwards for you, man. Hell, if you need some foil, man, or, you know, I mean, they're just there. That's why I love the family, man. I love the family of barbecue, man. It's just like camping and cooking and all together, a few beers, man. It's all good, man. I love it.
I'm going to bring him on. I think he's on the other line right now holding. I'm going to bring him on and let him join in this conversation. It's Kelly Wirtz. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Kelly. How are you this evening?
Oh, we're doing well. I've seen you out on Facebook stuff, never got a chance to meet you and everything. And I said, you know, towards the end of the year, I'm just going to have a conglomeration with really good teams and want to get some from the Midwest. And I think I picked 3 pretty good ones. And, you know, I'm just glad y'all said yes and decided to waste, you know, 45 minutes to an hour of your life to come on my show. And, but anyway, I think I get some guys from the Midwest to get on the show and do some talking. You had a pretty good year this year in KCBS.
Yeah, we sure did. We sure can't complain. I think we ended up with, 6 reserves and 2 wins. Down here at the end, we've actually ended up pulling a reserve and 2 grands last 3 contests we did this year. So I think we're sitting at like 3rd place in ribs overall and 8th in pork or something like that.
That's really, really stout right there for y'all. I mean, I'm glad to see it. Cause like I said, I kind of keep up with some teams and keep up with Big Mo. He's on the other line. He probably wants to say hey.
Yep. But, how you doing, Mo?
What's up, Kelly?
Hey, good. Good.
Oh, man. So you going to the banquet?
No, not going to make that one. We're actually working on some other stuff and heading out for Lake Havasu.
So,
not going to make the banquet. But one of these years, we're going to just make that time happen. So it's always fun to actually get to see all of our barbecue buddies like Mo and Mike and Debbie and all those and not have to worry about time frame and getting in to cook and just sit and relax and have a toddy.
Well, that's what it's all about. You know, Big Mo comes down here to Georgia. You know, a lot of us Georgia teams this past year, we really got into doing some dinners on Thursday and Friday nights, kind of bring the community a little closer together and stuff. And what's up with your well? Several nights, you only have 30, 40 teams out of an 80-team contest. Everybody just brings potluck. And it's I've said this before on my show, it's amazing the culinary experience that a lot of these cooks have other than just barbecue.
Yeah.
Just taste some of the other food. I'm sure y'all do it out there too, but.
Kelly's known for that prime rib. Kelly's a beef cooking man. He makes some hell of a prime rib. I think someone was saying something about the Royal, man, or what was that? The Royal? Did you guys do a potluck at the Royal, Kelly?
Yeah, we do a potluck at the Royal one.
Yeah, you guys sitting there out there ooh and ah, and Kelly did some prime rib, man. Was it prime rib?
Yep, that prime rib.
They came down and told me, man, if you get some of Kelly's prime rib, I'm like, man, I couldn't get away, man, to get some, man, but, man, I heard about it.
I still remember Mo's Philly cheesesteak sandwiches from a prime rib one year. Still got that taste in my mouth from you, Mo.
Oh, man. No, it's all good, Kelly. It's all good.
What Mo was talking about a little bit ago. Yeah, you know, that's really what it's all about. It keeps us coming back. We met such good friends, you know, from California to New York and Idaho to Florida, at all this that we've been doing for the last 10 years. And great people, and like you say, the culinary expertise, you know, you know you're going to barbecue contest and they are doing the Friday night potluck. That's what you look forward to all week long, just so you can get there for the potluck.
That's it. It makes you get there early.
Exactly, because you don't want to be the towards the tail end of that line, because there's usually not much left.
Even some of the crumbs are a lot better than what you can do at home.
Yeah.
You know, on some of these items that they cook, I mean, we've seen barbecue shrimp, we've seen shrimp scampi, we've seen, of course, shrimp and grits are big down here. But, you know, then you see lamb shanks and all sorts of stuff. It's just amazing what fish tacos, I mean, everybody just brings everything, and it's a lot of fun. It kind of lets you know really what you're there for. You know, you're having your friends in if you don't win. So, you know, and you just pick up more and more friends as you go. And
you bet.
You know, and then when you get in the area and you have any problems or whatever, those are the first people to step up and help you out and either get you back on the road or, you know, get you to a contest or whatever. And you know, don't take a dime for nothing. It's just, you know, pay it forward, basically. And I've got to admit, I've only been doing it 2 years. And the camaraderie and the social network of barbecuing is just—it still blows me away.
Yep, so I always said, I can go anywhere in the country, and you know, if I have pickup problems or trailer problems, I've probably got somebody I know within an hour away that'll come and save me. And it's happened before. We crashed a trailer going to Grand Junction, Colorado, one year, and one of the guys from Colorado unloaded his trailer, come up and loaded us up, and sold his entry to somebody else and helped us cook and helped us vend. And, you know, anybody else would have done it too. He was just one of the ones we happened to get hold of right off the bat. So,
Well, that just lets you know that, you know, you've got pretty much AAA from all over the country.
Yep.
Now, I noticed you had a big FEC and stuff. Do you, y'all in the restaurant, y'all do catering or vend big social get-togethers, or what do y'all do?
We actually used to do that. We actually closed a restaurant here just a little bit over a year ago. Had a barbecue restaurant here in Great Bend. We just found it too hard to try to find help. Everything and all the other issues going along with that kind of got to the point where I'm tired of fighting it. The kids were getting, had a senior and a junior in high school at the time, and finally decided, 24/7 at that place wasn't getting us anywhere with family time, so close it down and move on to the next stage in life. We've been doing that for restaurant stuff for 8-10 years. A lot of wealth of good experience out of that. So, but now, yeah, we're just doing a little bit of catering here and there. I'm also now the factory rep for Louisiana Grills out of actually out of Canada. So working with them, doing some of those things, and in the process, we've got our big FE750 for sale too. So it, the Pearl thing just sit out here and hadn't been used for so long. It was whined at me every time I went by. So wanting somebody to feed it. I would love to keep it around, but I just don't have that use for it. So it just will go to a good home where somebody does.
Well, I'll repost it on my Facebook page because I know there's a couple of people around here that are looking for something like that, and I'll post it out there and get it. And who knows, maybe meet up at a contest and put it on there, and they meet you halfway or something. Or like I said, it never fails. You know, it just depends on who needs what, and if that's a good buy for somebody that's really looking for it, then you know it's worth it for them to go out there.
Yeah.
And then, but anyway, so how's life been since you closed the restaurant? I know it's a little slower and probably a little less hectic, but you probably have to living instead of working.
Yes, it is much slower and much less hectic, but it's actually kind of nice to actually be able to sleep for 8 hours if you want to. I still enjoy doing that kind of cooking, cooking at the restaurant and coming up with new stuff to offer to the people that are coming in. Not much of a better feeling anywhere than, putting out a good product and serving people and watching the smile on their face as they're eating because they know they're getting some good food.
I think that's good for competition cooks. You get so many restaurants where people open up, don't really have a clue, and they're just feeding them the same crap year after year. And, to me, you're not going to cook it competition style. You may get close. You may use the same rubs. You're not going to sit and inject it and baby it like we do in competition. But it's still 10 times better than what you get at any of these mass-producing places, even if you do mass-produce it, because you know what the flavor profile is supposed to be like.
Yep.
And it's a hell of a lot better than these other ones that are around, especially the chain ones. And the meat's fresh, I can tell you that. And I've seen a couple of my guys that work for me. They were heading up North Georgia. And I know y'all know Bubba-Q. Well, I sent them by Bubba-Q's restaurant up there in Woodstock.
Yeah.
And Bubba came down, and I told Bubba they were on the way up there and stuff. And I told Bubba, you know, that I sent them up there. And Bubba came and sat down at the table with them for about 10, 15 minutes. They talked and all this stuff, and they said, man, it was just a great experience. The food was great. So, he even bought some couple pounds of brisket to bring back. And he said, I never do that.
Yeah.
So that just to show you, what you get in these restaurants, of course, Bubba's a hell of a competitor too, is, you get real quality food. And, in reality, it is competition-grade barbecue. I mean,
right. We know what we're doing with it, or well, we think we do anyway. We hope we do, and we take that same passion, that we spend doing barbecue contests, also translates over into what we're doing in a restaurant. That's generally, Bubba-Q and Pig In, Pig Out over here in Wichita, and there's a few others around. that I know that, you know, that's the kind of people we are. We care enough about what we're doing out there. We care enough to go do barbecue contests to make our restaurant better. And it shows in what we're doing at a restaurant. I hope it does anyway. That's our idea.
Well, you know, we've ended a couple of these contests, not too many of them, because, you know, it takes employees to vend and all this other stuff. But I'm a firm believer that trophies sell themselves, barbecue. I'm sorry, but if you got some nice trophies up there, and especially if you're from the area, and you know, some of the people know you and you start that line, and people are going to say, hey, they must have good barbecue, look at the trophies. You know, you always go up and look at what year they are. You know, if they're from 2005.
Make sure you read the nameplates on the trophy.
Yeah, exactly. might be a different team. It may have been in BFE or somewhere like that that they wanted, or, you know.
Yep.
Like you said, it's always nice to check it out. We've got a couple of vendors around here that one of them goes up to Lawrence, South Carolina, and we know they didn't win any all those trophies. And I talked to Rob Mayer, and he goes, yeah, they probably won just about all those, but he said, I wouldn't eat any of their food. I'm like, why not? He says, I think they done been kicked out to Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky from vending, and I don't know what they do to the food. And he wouldn't say, and I said, that's all you got to tell me. Trust me. I won't, you know, he said, that's what they do now. They go around, they vend at these barbecue competitions. They don't compete in them, they just vend in them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you make up there in Lawrence, South Carolina, it's a small town. But I'll tell you what, there must be 20,000 to 30,000 people come out on that square. And I have never seen a community come together like that as far as the – I mean, they draw people from five counties.
Huh.
And, I mean, they only have four major food barbecue vendors there. And those streets are jam-packed. It's a big square, and it's probably four lanes across. And you don't have a square foot where you're not hitting somebody. So it's amazing. But it shows you what barbecue's coming to. You know, you see a lot more teams out there. You're seeing a lot more competition out there. You know, we're seeing some more teams, you know, from the Midwest coming down here. And like I think you were probably online, we were talking about that, about branching out and see how you do against the rest of the country, you know.
Yeah.
One day I'll get to go further than Nashville, but, you know, I'm kind of stuck in this little area until I, you know, pick up some sponsors or something like that. You know, like Mo said, it's hard to do when you got a full-time job. And, you know, we do own a restaurant. I've got my own company, but my wife owns a sandwich shop. We do sell the barbecue there and the brisket on Friday. So, and she's only open for lunch, which is good, because I don't think I could take that place. You know,
much more than just that lunch deal. Yeah,
it is. And I mean, she's in a good area. She's in an area where there's a lot of plants and stuff, and there's like 4,500 workers. That the only way down is this one road, and that's where she's at. She's right down the corner of this busy road, and she picks up a lot of the people from the plants and stuff, safety meetings, and, you know, all that stuff. So she's in a really good spot, and she gets a lot of foot traffic and stuff. But, you know, if anybody wanted to buy it, we'd be more than welcome to sell it. But you know, that's her livelihood. You know, but we've been open this June. It'll be 10 years. So, you know, it's done quite well. It's still a landmark down there.
Good.
And so how many competitions are y'all planning on doing this upcoming year?
We'll probably run 25 to 35. Just a lot of it right now just kind of depends on kids' schedules. I've got one graduating from high school this year, you know, so we'll have a party for that one. We'll be off for a weekend and probably cooking for a couple more graduation parties and stuff, and, you know, help her get moved off to college and, you know, spend a little bit of that time with the kids that we didn't get that chance to while we had that restaurant. But yeah, we'll probably that 30 range this year, what we're shooting for at least anyway. I'm not one of those that sits down in January and starts planning out where I'm going for contests. Sometimes I'm doing pretty good to know for sure where I'm going a week ahead of time.
Hey, I'm just like you, man, Kelly. I'm the same way, man.
Yep. Where do we want to go this week? How far do I want to drive?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to do about the same as Kelly. I'm going to try to do 25 to 30. I don't know. I'll probably go back to 20 to 25. I'm getting ready to launch my barbecue sauces here in about less than a month. And I'll get that going and, you know, working on some, you know, grocery stores and things of that nature. I did like 30 something this year, and it's just too much for me as far as, you know, by myself pretty much. And I've always been like doing like 20, 22, 21, and I'm going to get closer back to the low 20s. And unless I'm just like, you know, single digits and points or something, you know, where at towards the end of the season. But yeah, I want to get out, do further, do longer content. I mean, go out places that I've never been before, like, you know, out on the West Coast somewhere. And then, as I said again, I want to get back going down deep south. But that means in order to do those, I got to do less contests because I just can't afford to, you know, to do both, you know, a ton of contests and a way out, you know, especially with a full-time job. So,
yeah,
that's
right, Kelly. You got a couple of youngins too, don't you, Mo?
I got 16, 9, 5, and 2. And the 5-year-old just had a medical issue, and, you know, so that's kind of taking our time and trying to get her squared away. And then, you know, that's it, man. I plan on, I think my first one will be in either February or March.
Are you coming down for Winter Q, Mo?
You know what? I keep saying, I'm not coming back because I never do good down there, but you know what? I'll be back. Because the Northern Irish is just a great guy, man. He's one of the nicest guys I know, man. And I love seeing all the teams there, but I just get killed. I don't know what it is, man. I just get killed. I get killed, Kelly. And he's a great guy, great contest. I mean, you guys always have a full house, man. And he's so, he's so nice. And the facilities, you know, being able to have the warm, nice, heated, reasonable heat inside to chill out in, and cooker sitting outside. So, yeah, I'll be back. Yeah, I'll get that itch that overcome me getting my butt handed to me every year. But I'm going to come back, and I'll just try again, you know. What's that saying when you – keep doing the same thing over again, expecting a different result?
We're all insane for doing what we do anyway.
Yeah, man, but I'll be back, man, Kelly. I'll be back.
Mo, just wear a cup, man.
why is that, Mo, that and you've cooked enough contests, you know how that works. You know, you've got certain contests where you go that you just don't do well. And you've got certain contests where you better keep going back to it because you're usually going to get your trip paid for it.
But you know, people there at a great band are just great. I mean, Kelly, the organizers there, I mean, just they go all out, the potluck, the Friday night. It's just a great time. It's just a great time. And he bends over backwards for us. I'm going to get into it this year, next year, Calcutta. I had never done it. I've been there, but I've never done it. But I'm going to get into it. It's just great seeing all the guys from Kansas City and guys from teams out of Colorado and people from the Midwest, Kansas, and all around Missouri. And it's just a good time, man. Oklahoma. I just like cooking down there. You guys, I love Kansas. I love cooking in Kansas, actually. Kansas is one of my favorite states to cook in. I mean, it's just, I like the judging in Kansas, except for the Great Bend one. Other than that, I do all right.
just wear a cup that day, you'll be all right. But, Kelly, do you do any classes or anything, or have any rubs or sauces you want to promote, or?
Yep, we've got actually several classes scheduled up this year. Competition class in Fort Smith, Arkansas, in February. A competition class in Fort Collins, Colorado, in March, and then a comp class here in Great Bend the end of March. We do a barbecue 301 class where we actually supply meat, brisket, pork, chicken, and ribs, and we go through and show you how to show people how to trim it. They bring their cookers and they cook it on Saturday, and show them, you know, the whole process all the way through, and then at the end of the day on Saturday, we show them how to do presentations and actually bring judges in so they can make presentation to the judges and actually watch the judging process, get to interact with the judges, find out, you know, find out what they liked, what they didn't, and ask the judges questions, you know, why didn't you like that one, or whatever their question might happen to be. I think it's always important for a barbecue contest cook to understand that judging process. You know, if you don't get a chance to come to one of our classes or anything like that, go judge a contest at least a couple of years somewhere in the process, so you know how that process works and how to build boxes, you know, for what they're looking for. We've got a little barbecue 101 class, just an 8-hour class we're doing in Lake Havasu. We'll quickly go through meat prep, seasoning, cooking, and all that, and then I'll have some all four categories cooked and ready to actually do a little bit of a presentation on there at the end of that class as well. So those are pretty much the classes we've got coming up this year so far. We do have our rubs out and available now as well, too. Our cow dust, which we've been using, well, cow dust, pig dust, trail dust, and the frickin' chicken rub.
Now, where can they purchase that, online or?
Find us at fourlegsupbbq.com. There's class information on there. There's contact information on there. We are not set up yet for sales directly over the internet, but just drop me an email from our webpage, and we'll get back with you and find out what you're needing and get her shipped off to you.
I need to get you hooked up with Daryl Mass from Barbecue Superstars. He's probably listening in. He's got a big Barbecue Superstar store, and he could probably promote a lot of your products in there.
Okay. I've seen that. I've been on that site before, too, but I forgot about it. We'll have to check that one out again.
Yeah, because like I said, you know, Dave with Butcher Barbecue, he sponsors me, and, you know, I still use other rubs and stuff. But, you know, we're trying to introduce some of these Midwest flavors over here on the East Coast, and, you know, we're kind of trapped with the same traditional rub year in and year out, and we're and, you know, doing very well with Butcher and a couple others. And, you know, you're always looking for that extra little thing, though.
Yep.
You know, just a little bit different flavor profile. I know between you and Laudable and Butcher and Smoking Guns and all, y'all have your own unique flavor. And then when you put it on the meat, it's like when I took Johnny and Rod school. You know, Rod was plain and simple. You do this, 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 and this, you get this. John's like, you do this, you do 13 different things, then you do this and this and this. You put them side by side, flavor profile-wise, there wasn't really any difference. But Rob's was like more just a cut-down version, straight to the point, you know, great for competition because you didn't have to go through all these steps and remember all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he's got a line of sauces out of Sol, and I don't know if he's got rubs yet or not, but... I thought he just started promoting his sauces. But
Yep.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I deal with one of my sponsors is Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills. And they started sponsoring me 2 years ago. You know, they help me out with products and stuff like that. And I got them to start carrying some of these competition rubs, you know, like Cimarron Docs, Smoking Guns, you know, Dizzy Pig, Wiki Q, all these, you know, Plowboys, all these competition team rubs in there and get rid of the old, you know, regular, you know, store item ones like you get at Milo or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's a great seller of those types of rubs because we do classes every so often. He sponsors four pro teams. I'm one of them. And we'll do a class like tomorrow night. We got all four of us going head-to-head in a kind of a rib shootout down there, competition rib shootout. So he's going to pack the house tomorrow night. Well, we're going to sit there and push whatever we use on these ribs.
You bet.
Great, I mean, you've got between 100 and 150 people in this store. And you know as well as I do that if a competition cook tells you to buy something like Moe's going to have with his sauces and stuff, so you tell them this is what I use and that's your product, the end product, they're going to say, holy crap, I got to give me some of that. It's going to be a hell of a lot better than what they get in a restaurant. It's going to be a more full flavor. It's going to have, you know, equal amount of heat and sweet to it, but it's going to have real savoriness to it. And you can't find all three of those categories in a restaurant chain down here anywhere.
Right.
And
that is correct, man. That is correct. Because, you know, my sauce that I make, I've been making for years, and my original and my raspberry chipotle, I got two different sauces they'll be available. And you'll be able to go to Facebook and also www.PonderosaBarbecue.com and be able to purchase those. But, yeah, I mean, that sauce, my original, you taste it, man, and, I mean, it's just full of flavor. It's full of body, and it's just the same sauce that I use on the circuit, you know, and that's just how it is. And you taste a lot of the sauces that you see on the shelves at the grocery stores, and not to knock them, a few of them are really good friends of mine, you know, that you know, in the grocery stores, you know, I'm not talking about the competition stores, I'm talking about just regular grocery stores. And it's like, you know, you get to, like, you know, just like take Kraft, not to take nothing away from Kraft, but you know what I mean? You get a lot of your basic sauces, and there's really not a lot of body to it. It doesn't have a lot of
It's okay. Yeah. It doesn't have a whole range of flavors in it. You know.
You know, I make my sauces. My stuff is very simplistic in the sense that I make my sauces, you know, for the everyday backyard guy, because I consider myself just a glorified backyard guy, and that's what my sauces are geared towards, too. It's not, you know, granted, there's going to be competition guys that are going to be buying it, but I made it for the person at home, the lady, the husband, out there cooking on their gas grill, the charcoal grill, whatever, cooking chicken, ribs, or whatever for their family. You know, that's what I made it for. I made it for them guys, and that's who you know, that I made it for, you know what I mean? Because, and when they taste it, they're going to know that it's far above, you know, what they can get at, you know, what is available at the grocery stores. I mean, the depth and the flavor and the balance is just there, you know, and I'm really looking forward to getting this out there going. It'll be, you know, I said again, at the end of the month, they actually got me on the schedule for the batch run, which is in about, I think, next week, and they're going to start the batch run with mine, and after that, it'll be available. I got a buddy of mine redoing my website to put the bottle and everything on the website. But by January you'll be able to, by early January you'll be able to buy my sauces online, and it'll be in specialty stores too. And my big thing is trying to push to get into grocery stores. So that's it, man. You know, I'm really looking forward to it.
So you're gonna bring me some down this year for Winter Q, right, Mo?
I sure will, man. I will, man. I'll take care of you, buddy Kelly. Yeah.
Y'all make me jealous now. I've got a competition coming up in February that I've got to do a pork loin. That's one of the categories. There's five of them, actually. It's the normal four and then that, because it's like two different contests in one. But when you said you had that raspberry chipotle, man, I want to try that on the pork loin.
Oh, man, that raspberry chipotle, man. When I first started making that stuff, man, it was years ago, man. I mean, years ago. And, hell, just pouring it over, it's like cream cheese and crackers, shrimp. Believe it or not, I try even on brisket, even though that's completely off the wall, and I don't like eating brisket like that. But it is really good, even on brisket. I have some in the fridge, and the wife, I brought some leftover brisket home from a competition, and she took some of the sliced brisket and dipped it in there, and she brought me a piece and says, "Try this." I'm like, "What?" And I'm telling you, man, it was good. So I mean, that raspberry chipotle, man, you can use it on all kinds of things, you know. And I know guys that do this big old shrimp fancy thing, and they use it on that, and scallops, and, you know, and you can shoot, it's fish, whatever, man. But it's really good, man. And the original is, I'm just really proud of it. Something that I've, you know, I said I make my own stuff, you know, and I make my own rub, and the rub's the next thing down the road, but. Right now, I'm going to be getting these sauces really taken off, and I mean, I've already got a broker lined up, and it's going, you know, I think it's just going to be a big hit. I think people are really going to really enjoy it and appreciate it, and you know, and it's because it's the real deal, you know what I mean? A lot of sauces out there, it's primarily corn syrup, and it has a very there's not a lot of body. You know what I mean? It's just kind of just, man, you taste it, it's kind of like, you know, overdosed with liquid smoke and corn syrup. And, you know, it's just, I mean, I'm not talking about the competition guy, you know, I'm talking about, because I haven't really tried a lot of competition teams' sauces because I've always made my own stuff. You know, I've dabbled with, you know, buying here, getting a jar here, someone give me a jar, you know, and taste it, but I've never been a person that bought it stuff on a regular basis and used, because I've always made my own stuff. So, you know, I'm not saying that I haven't tried other people's sauces. I have, but I just don't go out actively, you know, week in and week out and buy people's stuff, X, Y, and Z, and use it. I just never have. I never have. From day one, I've never have. So, I mean, there's some stuff that I blended, you know, like, you know, I blended like Moose Hog with my sauce to add more sweetness or whatever. And but it's not a primary thing. It's a very, very small amount. But that's, you know, my recipe doesn't have that in it originally. You know what I mean? If I'm in Missouri or Kansas or whatever, I did that, you know, and off and on, but it's really good, man. I mean, it's my original recipe, man, and I'm really proud of it.
Is that your recipe or grandma's recipe?
It's my recipe, something that I made, and I mean, I got a recipe. Like I said, I got a recipe book at home and went here, and that's about, I don't know, probably inch and a half thick of all of my trials and errors of everything. And maybe one day when I get famous, I can sell it for money or something.
Am I going to be talking about errors?
Always brings up a good point. You always tell everybody in class, write everything down.
Oh, I did,
Years ago, I made a vinegar sauce, just throwing some stuff together and figuring, you know, left in the fridge, and it was gone in about a week because we ate it all up. You think I've been able to recreate that recipe since? No, I spent 8 years trying to recreate that recipe, and I still can't do it.
Oh, Kelly, you're absolutely correct. I mean, my wife, she's an awesome cook. I come from a family. My mother was an awesome cook. My grandmother had 17 kids. She was a cold piece, man. She cooked her butt off. And I'm a true believer. Even though I created these recipes, I still look at them every time I make a batch.
Yep.
Every time I look at it, even though I know it, I always look at it because, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing when you think that you know it, and all of a sudden you miss an ingredient or the amount of the ingredient. And so I always constantly break my sheet out and I look at it. You know, I make the batch every couple weeks, you know, when I'm competing. And, And I always look at it. I always look at it, you know, and I'll make changes. That's a good thing about making your own stuff. You can make tweaks and changes and see how it does. You know, I've got a sheet, one of my original sheets, man. It looks like some Albert Einstein. I mean, I got so many changes on that thing, it's hard for me to even read. I have to stop and think. I made a batch of songs yesterday to take down to Texas with me for this competition I got coming up this weekend, and I had to stop and look at it because it's been so long since I looked at the original recipe, and I looked at it, and I had 50 billion changes on it, man, and I had to stop. And was like, okay, this is, and I actually put a date. When I make a change, it'll say, like, 11-10-11, you know what I mean? And I'll, you know, well, so, yeah, man, always write everything down, man, because, I mean, like you're saying, Kelly, you got that killer sauce, and also you think you can recreate it, and you're like, man, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and same thing in actually doing a contest, you know, right? It took me years to figure that one out, too. Write down everything you did. You know, everything you used on it, everything you used on chicken or ribs or whatever and sauce and when you did it and timeline. And so you can go back because, trust me, in a couple of weeks you'll forget what you did at that last one where you did what real well at.
Yeah, exactly, Kelly. You're right, my man. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many times have you – I remember I did real well in brisket at that contest. Now, what did I do?
Yeah,
you know, I've got notes in here for the last, 5 years of contests, so
awesome.
I just want to go back and figure out something.
Exactly, Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, have you got sauces on it, just rubs or both?
We've got our own sauces as well. We started making sauce years ago. Actually, our regular royal sauce won the American Royal Sauce Contest in 2005. Still working on getting those marketed out. We've got just a regular sauce. We've got a chipotle, raspberry, and a raspberry chipotle. And as like you guys said, those are killer on pork. We also run a butter maple sauce that is actually kind of one of my favorites on pork anyway. You know, with that restaurant, we just never had an overabundance of time to spend a lot of time dealing with all this other stuff. So we're slowly getting to all that.
Well, that's good. We've got a couple other callers on the line, and I was just thinking. What I could call this segment, and I guess we're going to call it the Midwest Mafia. got Mike and Debbie Davis from Lotta Boy.
How about the Midwest Fat Boy and one cowboy?
But anyway, they're online, and Mike and Debbie, glad y'all can make it. Y'all are on the air, so just jump in.
Okay.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike and Debbie, how are you?
I'm good.
Well, we sure can't complain.
What's up, buddy? What's up, Mike?
Hey, McMo, what's happening, man?
Not much, my friend.
I think I'm going to see you this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys, man. You guys are good people, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike,
yeah.
Will you explain the rules of that?
What?
Will you explain more the rules of the IBCA? He doesn't know.
Yeah, we'll explain it as we go. How's that?
There you go.
Yeah, I've heard that story before, Mike.
No, actually, I think this is going to be a Lone Star contest. They're talking about the R&O Smoker All-Star Shootout that Billy Overton is putting on down there. And I couldn't even tell you what city that's in because it ain't in a city. It's out in the middle of nowhere. On a beautiful game ranch south of Rye Vista, Texas. I don't know, do you have a name, Mo, of the city?
Yeah, it's called Starbuck Ranch in Brazos Point, Texas.
Okay. Yeah, the Starbuck
Ranch. Like you said, like Mike said, it's a beautiful game ranch, and they got zebras, man. They got all kinds of animals up on there.
Yeah, Yeah, it's pretty wild deal. Yeah. I appreciate Billy putting this thing on, so.
Now, I'll ask Debbie this question. Y'all just had a new addition to the family, and I think you're down there right now, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm spoiling our newest granddaughter.
That's awesome.
She's three months old.
Yeah, I've seen all this gorgeous little girl on Facebook and stuff, and congratulations. I guess that's Nana and Papa again. But anyways, y'all had a pretty strong year in KCBS again this year, and I didn't really get – I think I saw you at up here in Evans at the Benjoba Q.
Yeah.
And actually, we were up on the stage for ribs, I think, together. I got called pretty quick, but we didn't do too bad up there. But I didn't get to see you at – y'all didn't come to Greenwood any place. What's the amount next year?
You know, we really don't know. I mean – We've got so many things happening right now. It's just, it's unbelievable. Man, if half of it comes through, it's going to be a great time for us next year. And, you know, the good Lord just continues to bless us. And we wonder why sometimes, but we don't wonder too hard because we don't want to stop. But we haven't even been able to make a schedule for next year. Yeah, and usually by this time of year, we've already done that. Hopefully, before January 1, we'll get some stuff out and be able to do that. There's always some contests we're going to continue to do every year, regardless. But right now, we just don't have anything out there at all.
Right. Do y'all have any classes coming up? I know y'all give a few classes each year, and didn't know if y'all had any classes.
We try to do some at the first of the year. We did one in Michigan back in November, and that was the first time going up north like that and doing one. We may do one right here at home. We've got a great facility here at the Windstar Casino right down the road from us to do one, and then I've been requested to do one in Austin, Texas. So we may do one or maybe two right here January, February. But like I say, man, everything's just up in the air. We're trying to get some ink on some paper so we can talk about a few things before we just go shoot our mouth off, you know.
Well, you got to get Mama back up there so y'all can make your plans.
Yeah, I want to get Mama back up here. You know, every time she goes down there and stays, I hear this sucking sound. It's money coming out of the wallet she's spending on the drink.
That's why it's like the old gas things go cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Well, we have to find new stuff for the new grandbaby.
Yeah, but they don't need a new outfit every day. They don't need a new outfit every day. That's what diapers are for. Y'all got a good line of ribs and sauces I saw out there. And also, y'all were members of Barbecue Superstars, and, of course, we appreciate that and everything. Trying to promote that barbecue and everything. So part of the big things y'all got coming up this year, you going to elaborate any more on it, or you just...
Well, one of the big things we did, we changed smoker sponsors this year. We're now affiliated with R&O Smokers, which is out of it's out of Rio Vista, Texas. Rio Vista, Rio Vista, depending on where you live, which is how you say it. But we're having a custom pit built from them. Hopefully, we'll have that out on the circuit, not this weekend, but we'll have it out before we start in Pensacola. Which will also be a custom series that'll be available to buy. The thing about the R&O guys, you know, is they're responsive to needs. They take care of business very well. They approached us about using their smokers. In fact, we used one the 1st of December to cook down in Alabama. I was very, very impressed with it. They said, well, you should go on all the way down there to try it, and I said, well, I don't know how else you try it unless you just put it in the wind and let's go.
That's it.
So going without practicing on it, practice does me no good. I and I think probably Kelly and Mo will say the same thing, that, you know, it's okay, and it beats somebody, but it sure doesn't tell you whether your stuff's any good for competition or not. So that's kind of the way we look at practicing. It's just kind of a waste of time and money. So that's all I know to do is just get it in a contest and see what happens. So, but we ended up fourth down there, you know, for the first time cooking on it, so we were pretty happy with that. The smoker did very well. Yeah, it was just it reacted to everything I asked it for. It was there, and it did. So we're pretty excited and stoked about that. The other thing we got is a sponsorship with Barbecue Island in Tempe, Arizona, to be their national team that they're sponsoring this year. We're really, really excited about doing that. The guys there, Mike West and all the guys at Barbecue Island, just do a great job, handle lots of product. They do a tremendous online business. I know there's lots of guys doing online business around the country, but these guys do a phenomenal job out there. So you got to give them a little props, too. But we're pretty excited. Those two we can talk about just yet, but the rest of them are still kind of – we're waiting on the ink to dry. So
there you go. Now, is that new smoker an offset smoker?
The R&O is an offset smoker. It's a trailer bit, just like kind of what we've been using.
Right.
And they will build whatever you want, but they're going to put their knowledge into it. A lot of smokers are going to be cookie cutter type things. If you look at one, they all look the same. R&O is not that way. If that's what you want, that's what they'll build you. But they're certainly not opposed to building anything custom. So if it's stainless you want, if it's custom paint, if it's custom boxes, it doesn't matter. They'll put it on there, do whatever you want. They're doing the cart pits and the little, you call them, I think he calls them fat girls. But I think he's got a sweet meaning of that. you know that's a play off the fat boy, but you know that
it's an epic one.
it's a vault type pit, and he's built two different sizes of those, and they both work really, really well. You can expect good things, big things to come in a hurry out of R&O Smokers this year.
You know, I'm trying to get Mo to come over to the Southeast a little bit more, and I wouldn't mind seeing Kelly come over this way, too. You know, we had to put up with those two from Kansas City, you know, Rob and Sean. You know, they're kind of out there. I'm watching all of them over here, and I'll tell you what, them two guys, they have a blast no matter where they go. That Rob is he's a nut, but he's funny as hell. And they did LB in Gainesville and Cummins and Banjo-BBQ, and you know, they were we had a lot of fun with them. They're really good guys. I mean, like most of them, like I said, I think Kelly said you still get a few a-holes out there every now and then, but you know, I didn't know, you know, I know all three of y'all lived in the Midwest, and I knew, you know, y'all compete against one another, but I didn't know how all this was going to mesh out, you know, with in case somebody had bad blood towards somebody. But, you know, it's really hard to find that in this barbecue community.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Rob and Sean, you got to watch, man. They don't show up anywhere.
Who's that?
Rob and Sean, they don't show up anywhere.
Yeah,
you can kind of predict this truck only goes west.
He doesn't
come back.
His camper, I think it was about a 1980 camper, pulled up over that Shelby, and I said, that made it all the way from Kansas City? But, you know, he hung out with his dad. They went fishing and all that fun stuff. But now, Mike, you're going down to Pensacola. Do you do that so-called Southern Swing with Pensacola and Mobile and Tupelo and Slidell and Hammond, that 5 week?
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to make that run again this year. Hammond will
That's
be on
That's a lot
it.
Of fun.
It is. Hammond, Louisiana is probably one of the top premier contests in the country. That you know, it's one of those that sell out when in August, July, August, they sell out. It's they have enough. They have enough property, enough real estate to put 54 teams in, and that's what they do. They, you know, if somebody drops out, then they'll open it up and let somebody else in. But other than that, and I think this is their ninth year or tenth year.
Tenth year.
Okay. We've been to all of them, so we're planning on going back again this year. So, but yeah, we'll go down. We'll do Pensacola, Mobile, maybe Tupelo. There's another one that just, I guess Kelly probably knows about it too, but Buffalo Run up in Miami, Oklahoma. Just got their deal up and going, I think today or yesterday.
Well, you know, those contests right there, you know, you get teams from Florida Barbecue Association in there. You get a lot of teams from, you know, North Carolina and Georgia. Then you get a lot of Midwest teams. You know, it's a good mix down there in Louisiana with different types of teams you got coming in there. And it's interesting to see how each team plays, too, because, you know, one group may do really well at one contest, and then another group probably did a little well at this contest. And you got a whole mismatch with a team from Alabama, one from Georgia, one from Oklahoma, one from wherever. And you got all kind of mixed in there. So, you know, it's kind of like where, I guess, in my opinion, where the two flavor profiles meet somewhere around in that area.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always, always strong competition. I wish I could take off, you know, 5 weekends, go down and do that. But I'm on the other side of Georgia. Actually, when y'all came up here to Evans, y'all were a mile from my house.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. So, you know, we vended that one, did very well up there this past year vending it. I let my wife handle that.
Yeah.
I cooked 22 briskets and $48 for that. She had a half a pan of pork left.
Wow.
And like I said, we did very well up there competing. I separated myself from vending. I said,
well,
shut the door, and I didn't worry one iota about her vending. She had plenty of help, and I'm like, I'm done, you know. But I did have a guy going for his master judging cook with me, and he was very knowledgeable, very good, but he still had no clue, even though he's done 32 contests. Thought he knew what we went through, but had no clue on what all the prep and time and stuff it took to do a competition.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tell people, mine starts on Monday. You know, it's little things in the beginning of the week, then you're hitting it hard around Wednesday before you head out on Thursday, so... you know, I'm sure it goes true for most of the other teams and everything. But, yeah, he didn't have a clue on what went on. And I was talking to Bo about this earlier. I wish that after 5 contests, between 5 and 10, that they would have to cook with a team, you know, just to see what we go through, see the profiles and tenderness and stuff we're trying to hit. And, you know, they'll have a greater appreciation for this. They won't take it so lightly, I'll put it that way.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here, because we all think that. That's been my contention with TCBS for several years now, is that they do. After their 5th contest of judging, they don't get to judge anymore until they go cook with a team. I mean, I just think that, you know, not to say that people don't know what goes on, but then you know firsthand that they know what goes on. For so many years, they were able to just go, and if the guy didn't want to him in there and see what he was doing, he'd just sign his book and go on. And, and people can say, well, that didn't happen. Well, I know it happened because I saw it before. But we actually had a husband and wife go with us to get to renew their masters. It was kind of like you said, they had no idea what went on. And, you know, when I stopped and filled the motorhome up, they rode with us to do the contest. And I stopped and filled the motorhome up, and I put $250 worth of fuel in it. He says, man, you got to do that every time. I said, hang on, buddy, we're going to do this on the way back, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
just taking out a loan right now.
But, you know, I think there is a whole, you know, there's a, I would love to be able to talk to judges after contest just to see what their ideas were. People won't do it because they think I'll get mad at them. But anyway, I didn't mean to turn that into a judge's thing at all. But I'm with you. I think they ought to be cut off and have to cook with the team after five. They don't get to judge anymore until after that happens. But that's just my thoughts.
Well, I
agree. Mike, I agree, man. You're absolutely right, buddy.
You know, I was talking to Mo about it a little bit earlier, and I was, talking to Mike about it. I think we lost Mike. If he wants to come back on, he can. But, you know, I was talking to them about the judging thing, and, you know, a lot of teams are on board. But a good thing, too, is that, you know, I guess the way the new judging, keeping up with the judging this year is going to be a little bit better. And
yeah.
I explained to Mo that, you know, in Florida Barbecue Association, you know, each judge has a number. Then they have a table number, and you can see throughout the whole competition which table either scored high or low, which judge scored high or low. And, you know, it made you look at, like I said, the only one I did, you know, I had two good calls in chicken and ribs, and I had two eighth place in pork and brisket. And those two in pork and brisket that I had, those were the high scores those tables gave the whole day. And I was
right.
First on the table that day. And
yeah.
Those are the high scores they'd ever get. So, you know, it led me to believe that, you know, maybe my stuff was a little bit better than what they actually thought it was.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is some compensation there when you can do that. You can kind of see what's going on. And, you know, and it'll, like Mike said earlier, I mean, Kelly said earlier, it would show some accountability towards the judges. And,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
and that's what we really want. You know, we're simple people, but you know, you get, you know, 988s, 989s, whatever, then you get a, you know, 644 or something. Well, what the hell, Huey? We had two judges. Get this, at Lions this year, we had two judges from Canada. They told us that at the podium. Yeah, we even had two judges from Canada come down. I looked at my wife and I said, "Holy crap!" She goes, "What? It is gonna be screwed up." She goes, "Why?" I said, "They don't like. I mean, these promoters think it's great, but they don't like the style of barbecue we cook."
No.
You know, sorry, but you know, I had a bad score on my I think it was my pork. I had a 6, 7, 8 or something like that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, I finished second or third in pork, and I had that call, and I said, that's that Canadian judge right there. I'm telling you, that's what it is. And then a buddy of mine had a 6.44 on ribs, and he still ain't gotten over it.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, let it go. You know, it's you know, he said my ribs are raw. I said, if there's anybody in here that overcooks ribs, that's you. You
yeah.
Know they weren't off. And, I mean, he has more problems with overcooking them. He's never undercooked them. I don't think he's ever cooked them, but it didn't fall off the bone hardly. But that being said, I think you take a grain of salt and you move on and, you know, you keep on going.
Yeah.
So, we as competitors, we have to take those with what they're worth. And I know, Mike, you had some bad calls a couple of years ago here at Banjo BBQ, and, you know, it's frustrating as hell. And, but hopefully with the new judging, hopefully it'll hold these judges accountable, and you'll see less and less. And like I said, if we can get this judging, the team ratio to these contests, I think we're going to see a lot more even scores.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot more appreciation what we go through. Because a lot of these judges have no clue. Oh, they just put some meat on there. They go down to the grocery store and do this, and that's all they do.
Mm-hmm.
Till you get in that trailer and you see exactly what we go through, then they really don't have a clue. And
that's
cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think it's just much better.
Couldn't hear you.
I think think there's as much for judges to learn out there as there is for us to learn. You know, we as cooks, and we're all cooks here, I think we got to learn something all the time, you know, a different way, a different method, a different little something. You know? I think the same thing with the judges. I think their process would never stop, you know.
Well, I do the contest in the Southern Barbecue Network, and over there, they really stress for the judges, every judge to put a comment card out on your food, whether it's good or bad. And that way you can kind of see what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish KCBS would do that, or at least give more, because, you know, if you got like a, you know, even different batches of rubs might have a little bit more salt content or something. Yeah, they do change from the manufacturer a little bit.
Yeah.
So what I see is, you know, if your pork's a little salty or, you know, a little bit this, a little bit spicy, if you see a pattern, then you can back off a little bit. You know, we're trying to cook down the best food we can, but we need a little bit of feedback, too, on, you know, how our product's turning out to where, you know, we can tweak it. And,
right.
You know, we're trying to be the best barbecue cooks. They're trying to be the best judges. So, hey, let us know what you think.
Yeah.
You know? In the past, it used to be pitch cards. I'd like for them to be comment cards. You know, hey, let's just, you know, good or bad, I want to hear what you have to say. Just like on Barbecue Pitmaster. I know Moe's had his feelings hurt once or twice, but you take it, like I said, you take it with a grain of salt. You say, okay, I deserve that or I didn't deserve that. So I'm going to have to take it anyway, but at least you know where you stand with the judges.
Yeah. Well, you know, I keep hearing talks about a new judging system going in place in KCPS, but I've heard that for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. And kind of like when you go back to the FBA thing where you can see the judge that you had and how he judged product, you know, if KCPS would just do that, if you know, and I probably shouldn't say it, but, you know, you can get your scorecard from the office. You can ask for it. After every contest, and I do, but you'll get it with the judge's number and his name marked out and everybody's team number marked out but yours. But if you had a really low score, if you had let's say you had a 777 and everybody else gave you nines and eights, but if, you know, you don't, You can tell if you won that table or not. If you get the scorecard, you can find out by looking at the numbers if you won that table. If you won the table with a 777, I don't know how you combat that.
Somebody had a crash. Mike, you still there?
I don't know what all that noise is.
I don't either. It sounds like a crash.
Yeah.
Must be Daddy making
fun. But anyway, I mean, if you get your scorecard and you look at it, you know, and you really bummed out about that low score may have been the best score from that table.
Well, that's what it was on my FBA one, and, it, you know, I didn't feel so bad, but. You know, because like I said, you will get low-scoring tables. And, you know, I have a couple of friends of mine that are KCBS judges, and a girl was telling me at one contest, I think it was actually up here at Benjovacue, an older fella gave a brisket a 6 on appearance. A 6 on appearance. And so the table captain asked him, said, well, everybody else gave it 9s, why'd you give it 6? And he's like, can you burn ends? He goes, well, they don't have to be burn-ins. Well, if he wants a 9, there's got to be burn-ins on it.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you can't do it that way. You got to judge what's put in front of you.
Exactly.
And he, well, I don't see him. I'm not changing it, and that's the final thing.
Well, then he ought to be just banned from judging.
Well, he ought to be reprimanded, you know? And that's you know, we're up against crap like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, if they will do that, and they say he don't give – doesn't give, you know, good appearance scores all across the board, and he doesn't know what he's looking at.
Yeah.
You know, it's like if you want to eat it, you give it a 9. I mean, you can't wait to get into it. You give it a 9. If you say, well, it looks pretty good, you can give it an 8. But I'd take it one step further. I'd like to see Case Smith go to half point, and that'll break a lot of these ties up.
It will.
8.5, you know, that'll break a lot of these ties up, and that get rid of a lot of guesswork. Well, it's better than 8, but not as good as a 9, you know. That'll give the judges a little more leeway. And,
yeah, it
make their mind up a lot easier. But,
yeah.
But you know, the scoring system
changed way back. You know, it was because of all those 180s that happened on one weekend. I don't know, what was it, Mo Kelly, 14 or 17 on one weekend somewhere? And that's what brought the whole thing up, you know. And they said, well, this new system said there won't be any ties. That'll eliminate the ties. Well, evidently the cooks learned how to adjust themselves to that, because we're right back to ties again. You know, it didn't take but a couple of years. So, you know, it's got to be a different number system. I mean, like you say, the half point, the point, the decimal point's got to get in there somewhere, I think. You're right. So.
Yep.
Florida's on 10th point, you know, 7.1, 8.1. You know, 8.2, stuff like that, which is really good. I mean, it, you know, cause like I said, all they're doing anyway is just plugging that number to the computer. You match it with the multiplier number, and you get your number. You know,
right.
So it's not really that much different for KCBS to switch over like that. I know their software may have to be changed, but you know, I think a lot of the teams would agree to that.
Sure.
And like I said, it'd break a lot of these ties, and.
Yeah.
I think it'd make the scoring a whole lot easier for the judges, too.
Yeah,
so I think so, too. Examples there. And then there won't be 15, 20, 180s in one weekend, you know, because you know, those point files will really break that up a good bit.
So
your first contest this next year is going to be in Pensacola, right?
Yeah, that should be our first KCBS will be Pensacola, right.
Now, how many KCBS do y'all usually plan on doing, or y'all usually end up doing?
We did, I think this year we did 39.
Woo! I did 18. but I did other ones too. I did 8 SDNs and 3 SCBAs and 1 SBA. But I'm kind of like what Bo doesn't want to be. I kind of stick close to home right now. So I'm kind of renewed. This is on my second year, so I kind of stick close to home and, you know, keep Mama happy, because she ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
That's exactly right.
but we do have another caller, a 646-843 number. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Who's this?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. So you guys were talking about ribs earlier. And I just wanted to bring up something I saw in the paper the other day, talking about ribs. Hey, let's see here.
I guess we lost him. Yep, he went off the board. So anyway,
can I plug two more of my sponsors, or three more while I'm here?
You can plug it. Plug away, man. That's what this show's all about.
I didn't mean to include them a while ago, you know, but our longtime sponsor is True Branch out of Pittsburgh, Texas, supplies our Wagyu briskets for us. And then we have Compart Farms, Jim Compart and his family, on the family of farms up in Nicollet, Minnesota, for the Compart Duroc pork that we use.
Is that Berkshire pork is what you use?
No, it's Duroc.
Duroc, okay.
Duroc hogs, yeah. It's the red hogs.
The red ones,
but
not the pink.
Well, they call it the Black Angus of pork, but I always say the red is better, so.
That I'm just gonna keep it clean tonight. And then
Compart Farms is a complete pedigreed Duroc hog operation. So, We use the butts and the pork and the ribs from them. So,
what? No chicken sponsor?
Yeah, you know, Dad. I mean, see, I'm sitting here home by myself, and kind of lost.
I was fixing to plug him.
No. I thought Debbie had your back. I thought she'd be a little quicker than that, but I just kind of there was a little pause there. I was just kind of waiting because I know he does have a chicken sponsor, so I'm just sitting here waiting, and anyway, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, that's Tenny Mountain Farms out of Georgia over there. That's in your backyard almost over there, but we Springer Springer Mountain on this year, and I'm telling you what, it's you know people think there's not much difference in chicken, but golly. And everything I know takes a little used to getting used to when you start cooking something different. But this Springer Mountain is just phenomenal. The skin is there's no fat under the skin. It always looks the same. You know, it's the birds are always the thighs are always out the same. The legs are the same. It's you know, it just makes it easier when you're trying to do a competition when you know what you're going to get before you ever open that package up. And we've been really fortunate, you know, to be able to have Screw Branch and the Compart Farms and Springer Mountain, you know, to supply our meat to us because it just takes a little more out of the equation. Just something else we don't have to worry about. So we appreciate it. See what?
We got two more sponsors.
Well, why don't you jump in there with them?
Okay. Put your barbecue.
She's going. Well, see, behind every good man, there's a woman kicking him in the butt. So.
Well, we've got Butcher Barbecue and Texas Pepper Jelly.
Cool.
And we love both of their products.
Let me ask somebody while we're on the Texas Pepper Jelly. What is that? I bought some and I haven't used it yet. I'm gonna do what Mike likes to call a waste. I'm gonna try to do a practice cook on my ribs coming up. I've had some people say to use the whole bottle on some ribs and all that stuff. In your opinion, now don't give away any secrets, but in your opinion, is it better to do it in the foil or is it better to mix in with the sauce?
You know, I think the way we do it is we mix it in with the sauce. We'll just cut it in the sauce and use it that way. Now, when we do that, we're using primarily the pineapple habanero. We use that and apple cherry both, and I love both of those flavors. And if you don't want to do that, then just use it as a finishing glaze. It's an absolutely beautiful finishing glaze.
Well, that's why I know it puts a sheen on the ribs. And,
yeah.
You know, we've got a couple teams that around here that I mean they're good friends of mine, and one of them told me, he said, "Yeah, I got first place in ribs, and this is what I did." And he said, "I don't mind telling you." And so anyway, haven't really tried it yet. I did get a couple bottles in. I've got the, I think I got the apple one and the rib candy one,
mm-hmm.
and the red. And I was looking forward to using it, but I hadn't really gotten into where. You know, anybody's really told me anything else about it. And I knew y'all used it and a couple other teams out there use it. And
I've heard some other things. On chicken, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Mike did some chicken legs, and he poured that in a glass and dumped the legs down in it. You talk about pretty.
Just straight
and
it's up.
Really good.
it's not too, because that's the habanero, right?
Right. Yeah, everything he does is habanero, and thanks for giving that away on the chicken legs.
I like to share. You ought to try those.
Well, Debbie, I got your number. We'll talk later.
he did that in the house, and it was really good.
A little click of a button, I could cut Mike off in a heartbeat, trust me. I'm sure Mo's still hanging on, too, so I'm sure he wouldn't mind. but everybody's experiment with it and stuff. And like I said, I know a lot of Midwestern teams out there use it. And like I said, it's creeping over this way. And I do know a couple of teams that use it. But, you know, it's hard to really realize, you know, unless you – spend a lot of time with it, how are you going to, you know, use it on your product, so to speak. So, but
well, it's just like any other sauce that you'll try. You know, you just gotta use it to complement what you already have. So, the different flavors, you know. Craig is a really great guy. I don't know if you know him personally or not, but man, he's a super guy. He will bend over backwards to help you do anything. But he works really hard to keep that consistent. You know, when you're buying habanero peppers by the case lots, and that's what he does, it's really hard to keep your heat range the same. So, you know, every batch he does has a tendency to be cooler or be hotter on the Scoville rings than what his last one was. So, but, you know, I have found some differences in some of it, but I think it comes from the different flavors. Some flavors kind of overtake the heat and mask the heat a little bit. But for the most part, any bottle you get is going to have about the same amount of heat in it. So just taking the flavor of that and adding it to your stuff to make it work is what the key is to it. So,
well, you know,
that's all around his kitchen too. So,
well, you know, when you grow on a product like that, what I found out in the past is you can't really control Mother Nature a whole lot, number one. Number two is the, you know, the sponsors you mentioned that you have. I will agree with you 100%. You know, when you're in this kind of business, consistency is the key.
Yep.
So, you know, and your sponsors right there has some of the most consistent products out there for professional barbecuers to use, and that's one less thing you got to worry about, because you know your product's going to be there, consistency is going to be there, and you know, it's just having that confidence, knowing that you're starting with one of the best pieces of meat you could start with, and
yep.
You know, if you screw it up, it's on you. So, but you know, but it takes that away from it. You know, we worry enough on competition and everything not to have to worry about, you know, what's this going to taste like this week.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Consistency.
Exactly.
And I do want to thank Debbie for sharing that little tidbit of information. So.
Well, you ought to try it. You'll like it.
Well, you know, the show, I'll put out there to archive it, and people will be listening to it, and I'll just say, well, a lot of bull put one little gold nugget out. And as David Booster says, David did that on July 23rd of this year.
Yep.
And brisket, and it is the number one archived show ever in barbecue superstars history.
Really?
I'm not kidding. We're still getting 300-400 hits on that every month.
Wow.
And I've had several of my buddies come up and tell me, man, that little bit that he told us, you know, it wasn't really a big secret, but, you know, David put it out there. You know, he's pushing his products and all that. So he put it out there, and he said, if you'll try this. And after we got through with it, I called him up later. I said, you could have saved that for a private phone call. You didn't have to put it on the airwaves. You know, I could be talking to you like this, and you go, you didn't have to, you know, put out there to 5,000-10,000 people any given night. So, but you know, that's
David,
kind of guy he is. You know, everybody kind of
very knowledgeable and has great products.
I've never met anybody telling me the molecular structure of a Black Angus brisket, you know. And it was phenomenal. I mean, it was mind-boggling that somebody had that kind of information about meat and how the moisture ties in with the rubs and the injections and all this. And, you know, he said he went through 27 of this one ingredient in it. And I'm like, how many briskets did you cook to figure that out? You know, so it all that was just mind-boggling to me. And
just text me while you're talking, and said I don't need to go listen to that archive.
Now we know where to go.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna get a text saying take that off the show list.
That's pretty funny.
You gotta appreciate David's honesty. I mean, David is very honest and genuine. When you ask him a question, he'll tell you. You know, I mean, you gotta enjoy a guy like that and respect a guy like that. You know, when he tells he tells you to try it, he's being serious. You know, he's not jerking me around.
Yeah, because he's like, well, give it a try, or, you know, you might want to try this, try that. You know, he kind of haphazardly says it, but, you know, after talking to him a few times, I've talked to him on the phone, you know, personally and stuff. I mean, he really is a great guy. And, like I said, I could probably sit there and talk to him for 6 hours. He'd probably get bored, but I could sit there and just listen to him talk about stuff. And, you know, when you start figuring out the why. You start figuring out the whys that you do certain things. He knows them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's pretty cool. But, you know, like I said, I'm a newbie. This is my second full year. I mean, we finished 41st last year. We finished 37th this year. So, you know, that's, you know, anywhere from 16 to 19 competitions, KCBS. So we're plugging right along. We're keeping pretty consistent with what we've got. You know, we won a grand. I think we won four reserves this year. So, you know, we're still learning, and I know Mo is taking. Mo's probably going to go back and listen to that show, too. So, sorry, David, I let the cat out of the bag, man. But I've seen several people come back, and they're cooking a lot better brisket because of that, and just some of the little information that really got them pointed in the right direction.
Yeah.
And, So, you know, y'all are a lot like me, too. I've taken a couple of backyard barbecue teams kind of under my wing and, you know, kind of went over the process with them and some of the rubs. I didn't give away all my secrets, but got them headed in the right direction. And they're starting to kick butt in backyard. You know, they're starting to figure out, you give them that little bit of information, let them run with it and see where they go in the next couple competitions. But these boys have got bit hard, so. We're going to see them probably next to move up to pros. But that's what it's all about. I mean, that's improving the sport. I mean, you see, y'all been in this a while, so you see the amount of teams that are in KCBS compared to when you first started. It's astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
This is the 19th year to do this. Starting in January, it'll be 19 years. So.
Wow, Mike, that's a long time, buddy.
Yeah.
So you started when you were, what, three?
Yeah. No, that's when I made dinner. She was 2.5, so.
Okay. You like older men, right? but I mean, like, even me talking to Rod Gray and all these teams have been around for not quite as long as y'all have, but, you know, in that 10 to 15 year range. I mean, you look at the amount of teams that were. Actually, I guess the membership of KCBS back then as it is now, last year I know it was at least over tenfold. This year it's got to be almost 20-fold compared to say 2000, 2001. Mm-hmm. Looks like the slow growth all the way up about 2004, 2005, then it just freaking exploded.
Yeah.
You know, I think with, you know, all your media out there with barbecue superstars and all these grill-offs and all these competitions coming to these smaller towns, it's really bringing a whole lot more awareness to these barbecue events and more towns are getting at them. You know, they're looking for these charity events they can do to raise money for all these charities, which is great. It's great for the community. It brings in a lot of dollars for the community. And, you know, I know y'all travel a lot and everything, y'all in the motorhome, y'all are really able to venture out a whole lot to taste like local cuisine, you know, because y'all in your mobile home. But I'm going to tell you, this year, when y'all come to Banjo-BBQ, we're going to take y'all to a little oyster bar / dive thing. We took Sarah Grillers and Pickle Porker.
Oh, ain't going.
And all those. Do what now?
If Mark Breen's going, I ain't going.
I can feel the love. Well, we take Tillman and Grill, too, so I know you know Bob. So he...
We'd love
over there. And, you know, Mark owns an oyster bar, so to speak. He went over there and he's made some good fresh seafood. But they have everything. They got hand-padded hamburgers. They've got, like, Philly cheesesteaks. the whole nine yards, but everybody thoroughly enjoyed it. So we'll get a big caravan up. Between my vehicle and my wife's, we had 12 people in there. So,
wow.
And you got to figure, you know, David Marlowe from Blue Bloods and Celeste, you know, like I said, we were packed in there. Now, she does have a 3-seat SUV, but we all had such a great time over there. It's laid back. I mean, flip-flops, T-shirt, and shorts, and you're there, you know. And about a mile and a half down the road. But we'll definitely make it a point to get y'all in on that group. And we'll set Mark and you at a different table. But
hey, my friends. Hey.
Yeah. Oh, if you come down, we'll take you too, man. We're not scared.
All right. Hey, my phone's getting ready to, battery's just getting ready to click off.
Okay, Mo.
Hey, Mike.
Bye, Mo.
I'll see you guys this weekend.
All right, buddy. Drive safe.
Hey, you take care. I'll see you guys this weekend. Thank you.
All right. Mo, take care, buddy. Glad you could be on here tonight.
No problem, buddy. Take care.
All right, we'll see you down the road, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, buddy.
That was Mo Quezon from Ponderosa Barbecue, Mr. Pitmaster himself. So now, Mike, you've done, I want to touch on this too. You've done a couple little side shows like that too, haven't you?
What is that?
Kind of like a Pitmaster thing. You were out in, was it Vegas early in the year? That you did a celebrity throwdown or something?
Yeah, you had, I can't remember what the guy's name was. Remember that country music star?
Yeah, at the Vegas cookoff out there, we did one. Yeah. Yeah, we blew the competition away with that thing.
Yeah, it looked like you were having a lot of fun.
Man, that was just a blast. That was a blast. David said, "Didn't you hear them people talking to you?" And I said, "I don't hear nothing. I get in the zone. I'm busy. You know, I don't hear nothing else." So,
right.
We gave that thing right to the house. So that boy did everything I told him to do or asked you to do, and it just all came together.
Well, that's good. It's always fun to do stuff like that. You know, it kind of breaks monotony doing just straight-out barbecue competitions week in and week out. It kind of adds a little flair and a little fun, a little difference to it, too.
Yeah,
so,
it does.
You know, and it's good to see that. You know, I would like to see a little bit more kids' queue going on at these events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like everything else, that's the future of barbecue.
It is, yeah.
You get them into it earlier, as you know, you can't rush good barbecue, so, you know, it keeps them out of trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
And besides,
our oldest grandson competed twice this summer, and the first one what place was the first one, third or second?
Yeah, third.
And then the second one he cooked in, he won it, so that was pretty cool.
And you're probably more happier for them than you are if you win.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, he actually beat Papaw that weekend, so he thought that was pretty cool.
There goes some more information you should let out, Debbie.
Yeah, but you know, that was okay. I think he ended up winning more money that weekend than I did, so. Man, I really got all that money. I said, yeah, but you got to pay me back for the entry fee.
That's right. No. This. Yeah, you didn't win but $10. You know, it was funny you said that because I was talking to Jeff from Wickenkew, and his daughter and her friend went up and did that Legends of the Fall of the Mighty Mills up in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And Legends of Barbecue. And he said he was there. He actually just lit the smoker for them, and, you know, she's been through enough of them, and he told them the process. They did it. They, you know, sat there and watched it. They said all the other kids were playing around. It looked like the parents were doing the cooking and stuff.
Yeah.
He said, honestly, they cooked the meat, and they, you know, he helped them cut it, but they placed it in the box and all that stuff. And they took grand, and he said, I swear you would have thought I won $300 million when they called it out for grand. He said, I was jumping up and down. I was hooting and hollering. I think I was even crying. He said, I was so damn happy. He said, it's just amazing. He said, then I had to look around. I had to kind of compose myself. he said, damn it, Jed's getting work carried away. So, and then Chad Renfro from Uncle Chet's, we were up in Gainesville, and his son was up there cooking in the backyard. And we said to Todd, if you haven't met Chad, you need to meet him. He's no frills. He's straightforward. He'd tell you how it is, but he's funny as hell. And
yeah.
We had the awards, and I said, your son did backyard? Yeah. He goes, his stuff was better than mine. I said, no, he goes, I ain't kidding you. I gave him one. I took the other one. He said, his stuff was better than mine. He said, piss me off. And sure enough, he didn't even get a call that his son won reserve grand in backyard. He goes, I told y'all, his stuff was better than mine. He goes, I'm going to let him drink, and I'll come out and drink with y'all. How about that? He goes, I'm tired of this. He said, I'm overthinking mine. He said, I just told him the basic stuff what to do. And he said, oh, he won more money than I did. Tell you won money. I didn't win nothing. That was hilarious. And he's like, he's going to have to get his own damn trailer. That's all I got to say. I said, he ain't got enough to drive. That's his mama's fault. So, but it's all fun and games. And like I said, you've got it. Your family's growing, and you're going to have some kids growing up. They're going to be interested in it. They're going to be riding around in your motorhome with y'all for a little while. And then,
yep. You
know, well, a lot of Bull 2 and a lot of Bull 3 and a lot of Bull Junior. And
yeah.
So,
yeah.
There's going to be a lot of Bull out there, buddy.
That's it. There's already a lot out there. We're just looking for a lot more. So,
so instead of just knee boots, we're going to have to put on some chest waders or something. Well, guys, it was great talking to you tonight. And, Debbie, thanks for the tidbits. I'll put that on the archive shows. Seriously,
well, thank
guys,
you for having us.
It was great talking to y'all. And if you want to plug out your sponsors now again so Mike can get them all right.
Yeah, run them, baby.
In order, Mike, I'm married too, so I know how it is. just go with it. So anyway, Debbie, go ahead and plug y'all's sponsors and your rubs and where they can find y'all's rubs and sauces at. And, we'll go ahead and take care of all that before y'all get off of here.
LaudableBBQ.com.
Okay.
Rubs, sauce, t-shirts, we got it all.
That's good. Are they stain resistant?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and run the rest of them, honey.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and run all the rest of the sponsors for them.
Oh, let's see.
Oh, yeah, now you're going to.
I know. Screw Brand, there are no smokers. Compart Duroc, Springer Mountain Farms, Butcher Barbecue, Texas Pepper Jelly. Did I leave anybody out?
Yeah,
Grant.
Barbecue Island.
Well, that's really good talking to you guys, and hopefully we'll see you out of a few more of these contests this year. Come over towards this way, and who knows? I might sneak up and go out that way one time this year if I got time. And
well, come on.
Of course, the money to do it, but I'm looking forward to branching out just a little bit. I might try to make it to Tupelo or something this year, but we'll have to wait and see. That'd be about as far as west as I can stand to go. But
yeah.
It's really great having y'all on the show, and keep me posted on the classes and stuff, and I'll keep running them on the week that I'm on the radio, and we'll keep plugging for y'all. And I know y'all are members of Barbecue Superstars, and I try to get, teams kind of join it because it's for a good cause. And, we're a growing organization just like KCBS was. So, they're allowed to do videos and all that stuff. So, and it helps promoters of these contests and stuff. It gets more teams involved and community involved and everything else. So, but anyways, guys, it was really and truthfully, I loved having y'all on the show. It was great. We had a really good time. And I want to thank Kelly Wirtz from Four Legs Up and, of course, Big Mo Kason from Ponderosa for coming on. This is a great show for me to end the year on my barbecue show. So we'll be back in January. If y'all want to listen in and waste a couple hours on a Monday night, feel free.
Okay.
You want to call in and give me hell, that's fine, too.
Don't tell them man, he'll be calling you every week.
My wife does that to me, so, you know, jump on in. Water's fine. But anyway, it was great. Y'all have a Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year, and we'll be talking next year to y'all.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike and Debbie.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we had a great show tonight. We had Mo Kayson from Ponderosa Barbecue. We had Kelly Wirtz from Four Legs Up Barbecue. Mo's coming out with some new sauces and stuff. Kelly's already got from Four Legs Barbecue. He's got some sauces and some rubs coming up. You can go to fourlegsbarbecue.com. And then last but not least, we had Lotta Bull with Mike and Debbie Davis. Great to talk to those two again. And had a really good time. We did find out a little bit of tidbits here and there, even from Mo, Kelly, and all them. So I want to thank everybody from the bottom of my heart for coming on this show tonight and making it a wonderful last show of the year for me. And we're going to crank up again in January. So listen in. Like I said, I want to thank our sponsors, Royal Oak Charcoal, Southern Q Smokers. We have Butcher Barbecue on board. We have Wiki Q Sauces and Butcher BBQ Sauces and Rub, man. I'm going to tell you what, they're second to none. We've also got Fireside Outdoor Kitchens and Grills, and hopefully we'll be coming up with some new sponsors we're working on. And like I said, we're looking for a big year this year, and we appreciate y'all listening in. If you get a chance, go out and join Barbecue Superstars and, you know, be part of the barbecue revolution. I'm going to play this going out song again for the students and teachers and families up there at Sandy Hook for the tragedy this past weekend. And we'll see y'all next year. Thanks for tuning in.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. and grace with.